Well, I want to talk to you this afternoon about the cross and sanctification. So go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. I want to look at one verse. Romans chapter 6, going to look at one verse, and that is verse 6. Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's read it one more time. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And the very first thing I want us to recognize is the first part of verse 6, where he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. And the old man that Paul is talking about is the sin nature, this old man, this sinful nature. And what Paul is saying is that when Jesus went to the cross and was crucified and he died, it was at that point that a death blow was dealt to the enslaving power of sin. That when Jesus went to the cross and was crucified and he died, it was at that point the captivating power of sin was smitten with a death blow. And yes, as believers, we still have to deal with the sin nature. We still have to crucify the flesh. We still have to mortify the deeds of the body. But the sin nature doesn't enslave us anymore. It doesn't have mastery over us anymore. It doesn't captivate us anymore because Jesus smote it with a death blow when he went to the cross. Amen. So what does that mean to us? Well, that simply means because Jesus dealt with the power of sin and smote a death blow to the power of sin on the cross, that simply means the sin nature no longer has power to fashion our lives, to mold our lives, to shape our lives. It no longer has the power to do that. But now the Holy Spirit is in our heart and he's working in our life, and he's the one that's shaping us. He's the one that's molding us. He's the one that's changing us from glory to glory, because on that cross, Jesus dealt with the power of sin on that cross. Now, beloved, here's the point that I'm very strongly making this afternoon. And my point is simply this. Listen, when my faith is solely resting in Jesus' victory on the cross, when my faith is anchored in this truth that it was on the cross that Jesus dealt with the power of sin, broke the power of sin, when my faith is wholly fixed and anchored in that truth, that is the faith that the Holy Spirit works through to change me and transform my life and conform me to the image of Christ. That is the faith that he works through. That when my faith is simply in, you know, when it comes to the power of sin, has nothing to do with me, it has nothing to do with my strength, it has nothing to do with any battle that I've ever won, but it's simply Jesus broke the power of sin. When my faith is placed in that truth alone, that faith becomes a channel. And the Holy Spirit works through that channel, he works through that faith to sanctify me, to change me from glory to glory, to conform me into the image of Christ. It's that faith. So let's just ask this question. Well, why is this true? Why is that the faith and the only faith that he works in? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, the cross is God's only solution to the power of sin. It was on the cross that Jesus broke sin's captivating power. Beloved, when it comes to the power of sin, God has no other remedy. He has no other solution. There's only one place where he dealt with the power of sin, where he broke the power of sin, and that was on the cross. Therefore, that is where my faith has to be resting. That is where my faith has to be fixed. That is where my faith has to be anchored. Because it was on the cross where Jesus destroyed the power of sin. And that's where I have to rest. That's where I have to put my trust. And that's where I have to put my reliance. And secondly, Jesus paid too high a price on the cross for our freedom, for the Holy Spirit to acknowledge any other thing that we're trusting in. Listen, when Jesus went to the cross and he paid the price on that cross for our freedom and for our deliverance, listen, he paid too high a price for the Holy Spirit to acknowledge anything else that we're trusting in. Listen, if we're trusting in any other thing for deliverance and freedom over the power of sin, if we're trusting in any other thing, the Holy Spirit's not going to honor it. The Holy Spirit's not going to move in it. The Holy Spirit's not going to work through it, because Jesus paid too high a price on the cross to set us free from the power of sin. Understand the power of the cross works daily in our lives through faith. That when my faith is solely anchored in Jesus' victory over sin by the cross, then daily that victory works in my life, and daily I'm being changed from glory to glory. Beloved, let's just answer the question. In the life of a believer, how does the power of the cross work in my life every day? Listen, I can be saved for 50, 60 years, and the power of the cross, not just the day I got saved, but the power of the cross works in my life every day. So how does the power of the cross work in my life every day? Simply through faith. Listen, when I'm simply daily resting in this truth, that on the cross Jesus broke the power of sin, it's no longer fashioning my life. Jesus set me free by the cross. He set me free from the power of sin. When my faith is placed there, then daily the Holy Spirit, he comes behind that work on the cross. And he works in my life and he changes me from glory to glory into the image of Christ. He conforms me into the image of Christ. Understand, the Holy Spirit can use so many things to work in our life and bring change. He uses the word. He uses trials. How many of you know he likes to use trials to work in your life? Amen. He uses the word. He uses trials. He uses circumstances of our life. He uses other people. But what releases his power in our life is where our faith is fixed. That's what releases his power in our life. You know, I like to liken it to a car. Listen, it takes a lot of parts to make a car go. A lot of parts. You know, you have the battery. You have the carburetor. You have the crankshaft. You have the spark plugs. You have the pistons. You have the transmission. It takes a lot of things to make a car go. But there's only one thing that puts all these other things in motion. There's only one thing that causes all these other things to work together and provide power to the car. What is that one thing? It's the key. Right? It's the key. It's that one little key. You can have all these components just sitting there ready to be engaged, but until you put that key in and turn it, that car's going nowhere. There's going to be no release of power. There's going to be nothing put into motion. You have to take that one little key, stick it in the ignition, and turn it. And beloved, that's like our faith. That is like the sanctification process. Listen, the Holy Spirit uses so many things to work in our life. He uses trials. He uses tribulations. He uses the word. He uses circumstances. He uses people. He doesn't waste anything. I'm telling you, he uses so many things to work in our life. But what releases the power in all these things is where your faith is placed. When my faith is simply in this, Jesus on the cross, there's no other place to look. There's no other place to try to find victory and deliverance. Jesus, on the cross, you broke the power of sin. When my faith is in that place, then the Holy Spirit, he can work in the word. He can work in circumstances. He can work in people. He can work in the situations of life, because the key is in the right place. Amen. It's just all about, where's my faith place? Where is it fixed? And beloved, I believe this is the reason why there are many believers who can't get victory over sin. I believe this is the reason why there are many believers who experience so little change in their lives. It's because their trust is in something else other than Jesus' victory over the power of sin on the cross. In other words, they're trusting in another key. You know, let's go back to our car example. Let's say you have a car and a ring full of keys. You ever seen anybody who has these key rings and there's like 20 rings on that, 20 keys on that one ring? You ever seen anyone like that? They just have this great big... Well, listen. Let's say you have a car and a ring full of keys. No matter how many keys you place in the ignition, only one is going to start that car. If you try to use any other key besides the right key, there will be no release of power and the car's not going anywhere. And if we place our faith in anything else other than Jesus' victory on the cross over the power of sin, we're trying to use other keys to engage the sanctifying power of God in our lives, but it's not going to happen. You know why it's not going to happen? Because Jesus paid too high a price on the cross to set us free for the Holy Spirit to acknowledge, honor, and work in anything else. It's the cross. Amen. Here's the problem. Many start with this simple faith, but something comes along that causes them to switch their faith and trust and put it in something else. And I just want to use the Galatian church as our example this afternoon. I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I want to look at one verse, and that's verse 19. He speaks to the Galatian church. He says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Beloved, this was Paul's consuming passion for the Galatian church, that Christ would be formed in them. His consuming passion is that every day of their life they would experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. His consuming passion was that they would continually experience the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God in their life, conforming them into the image of Christ. Beloved, I believe with all my heart, this one verse, everything else in Galatians centers around it. Paul is saying, this is my passion for you, that Christ would be formed in your life, that you'd be transformed daily, you would go from glory to glory, but yet something has happened that is hindering that work from taking place in your life. Something has crept into this church that is truly hindering, terribly hindering the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, and it has everything to do with the cross. You see, what happened is Judean Jews had come into the Galatian church and were beginning to teach them and had been teaching them that in order to be saved, you don't only put your faith in Jesus and his finished work on the cross, but you have to be circumcised. In order to be saved, you have to bring circumcision back into the picture. And now they're shifting their faith. Their faith was simply in trusting in what Jesus did on the cross, his victory on the cross. And now they're beginning to shift it to something else, circumcision. And what's happening in Paul's letter to the Galatians, this is what he's telling them so plainly. Because you have shifted your faith from something else other than Jesus' victory on the cross, now you're going right back under the bondage of your sin nature. That was his message to the Galatians. Because you put your trust in something else other than what Jesus did on the cross, his victory over sin on the cross. Now, one more time, you're finding yourself coming back into bondage to your flesh and the sin nature. One more time, you're finding the sin nature taking dominion over your life again. Look with me. I want you to look with me at Galatians chapter 5 and look with me at verse 4. He says, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Now, if you have King James, he says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. And that word effect actually means to work powerfully in. To work powerfully in. So in other words, we're talking about power here. And what Paul is saying, he's simply saying this. When you place your faith in any other thing than the cross and Jesus' victory on the cross, the Holy Spirit is hindered from working in your life. When you shift your faith to any other thing other than Jesus' victory on the cross over the power of sin, the Holy Spirit cannot work in your life like he desires to work in your life. And why is this true? Why? Because the cross is God's only solution for sin. The cross is his only solution for the power of sin, and that is where my faith has to be fixed. That is where my faith has to be anchored. Look with me again at verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. He says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Then he says, you are fallen from grace. Now, I've heard people say Paul was telling the Galatians that they lost their salvation when he told them they had fallen from grace. But, beloved, when I study the context of the scripture, I really believe Paul is not saying you've lost your salvation. What he's saying is this, when you shifted your faith to something else other than the cross and the victory of the cross, you removed yourself from the only source that has the power to destroy sin. When you shifted your faith to something else other than the work and the victory of the cross, you removed yourself from the only source that has the power to destroy bondage. You removed yourself from the only source that has the power to change you from glory to glory. You see, the Holy Spirit is the power that changes you, but the channel he works through is your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. The Holy Spirit is the power that changes you. But the cross and the Holy Spirit are like a hand and a glove. He is the power that changes you, but he looks for something in your heart. He looks for where your faith is placed. He looks for where your trust is anchored. And when he sees it's anchored in that one place, that on the cross Jesus dealt with the sin, the power of sin, he says, there's the channel I can work through to change your life. So what is Paul's conclusion? Go with me to chapter 6. Look at verse 14. He says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there. This is the bottom line for Paul. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he uses that word glory here, he's talking about the object of his faith. What he's saying is simply this, God forbid that I should place my faith in anything else except Christ and his finished work on the cross. Because Paul knew this is where the power to be free is found. Paul knew this is the power to change. Paul knew this is where the power to be transformed is found. It's when my faith is fixed in one place, Christ and him crucified. You know what I love so much about Paul? Paul was a cross preacher. That was his message. He said things like, God forbid that I should glory in the cross. glory in other things beside the cross? He says, for I am determined to know nothing in Corinthians but Christ and him crucified. He was a cross preacher because he knew it was on the cross that Jesus dealt with the power of sin. And when my faith is anchored in that one truth alone, the Holy Spirit can work in my life and do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think according to the power that works in my life. Now, thinking about all of this, here's the question that came to my mind. Well, today, we may not revert to circumcision, but how do we switch our faith? We can start with this simple faith, but somewhere along the way begin to look to other things and trust in other things. How do we switch our faith? And there's a few answers that came to my mind, but here's just the one that I really want to talk about tonight. How do we switch our faith? Beloved, it happens so naturally when a church de-emphasizes the cross. When the message of the cross is no longer our central message, it happens. Can I tell you today that so much of the church world has de-emphasized the cross? We still sing songs about it. We still put it on our steeples. We still plaster it on our bulletins. But yet the message of the cross has been so de-emphasized in much of the church today. Listen, you rarely hear anointed messages on the cross and a believer's daily victory because of the cross. You rarely hear those messages anymore today, and it's because the cross has been so de-emphasized. I'm telling you, it's a very de-emphasized message. And beloved, my point is simply this. Listen, when the message of the cross and Christ's victory on the cross is not our central message, something naturally happens. We gradually shift our faith to other things, such as our own strength. Without even realizing it, we gravitate away from faith and Christ's victory on the cross, and we move toward trying to live victorious lives over sin in our own strength. It's just a natural occurrence when you move away from the message of the cross. Beloved, it's something that just naturally happens in a believer's heart. When you move away from the message of the cross, you naturally begin to gravitate towards things like your own strength when it comes to trying to live victorious over sin. And I'm telling you, your own strength is powerless when it comes to living over victory over sin. I believe this is the reason why so many Christians just can't get free from besetting sin, because they are sitting in churches that have de-emphasized the message of the cross. I believe that with all my heart. I believe there are so many people who can't get free from besetting sins and secret sins in their life because they're simply sitting in congregations and churches that display the cross, but have so de-emphasized the message of the cross. And when you do that, the heart just naturally gravitates toward other things for victory other than faith. Amen. You know, there was a time many years ago in my Christian walk when a struggle got into my heart. And that struggle was simply this. I had to be honest with God, and I'm glad the Lord brought it up, because it wasn't something I was proud of, but it was a real struggle. And the Lord, how many of you know he's not afraid of our questions? And I finally had to get honest with God, and I said, Lord, the thing I'm struggling with is this question. If the gospel is so powerful, why are there so many Christians in bondage? God, I have to be honest with you. This is what I'm struggling with. If the cross is so powerful, why are so many Christians in bondage to sin? And you know, the Lord spoke to me and he gave me an answer. And the first thing the Lord did is, it was his answer, so I'm just going to give it to you. He spoke to me in a dream. And in this dream, I was standing looking at this massive brick wall, massive, made out of solid stones. And I was just sitting there in awe of how strong and fortified it looked. And as I was staring at this massive brick wall, it suddenly came crumbling down and just fell at my feet in ruins. And when it fell at my feet in ruins, I was able to see what was on the other side of the wall. And on the other side of the wall, I saw a hillside. And on top of the hillside, I saw a cross. And God spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, I don't want you to ever lose confidence. The cross has the power to deal with every stronghold in a person's life. Doesn't matter how fortified, how powerful it looks, the cross has the power to deal with it. And of course, the Lord began to take me into his word, and he took me to the walls of Jericho, that invincible wall. But yet Joshua took the Ark of the Covenant. It represents the cross, the mercy seat, the blood sacrifice where the blood was poured. And he marched it around that wall, and that wall came toppling down. And God spoke to my heart and he said, Tim, I want you to continue to surround and circle people's strongholds with the message of the cross. I want you to continue to keep the message of the cross and the victory of the cross. I want you to continue, talk about it a lot, preach it a lot, teach it a lot, keep it at the forefront of their heart. Keep their faith fixed there in that place. And I'm telling you, you will see their strongholds fall. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and this is what he said, Tim, if you will just keep preaching the cross, you will see people set free more powerfully and more quickly than anything else you can do. Preach the cross. And that's been the message that burns in my heart today. Beloved, we got to keep our eyes and our faith and our fixed in one place. It was on the cross Jesus dealt with the power of sin. It was on the cross. Amen. I want you to stand with me tonight. I do want to give an altar call, and it's an altar call I give a lot, and you'll probably think in your heart, yeah, Pastor Tim, you seem to give that altar call a lot. But it's one that just lives in my heart, because I know what it is to live in discouragement. Because you just don't feel like you're changing, or there's just strongholds in your life that just don't seem to be breaking, and you're wondering if God's doing anything. And a discouragement can just settle in your heart. So my altar call is simply this. Maybe there are people here and you're just very discouraged. Maybe there's areas in your life that you'd like to see change and they just don't seem to be changing fast enough. Or maybe there's areas in your life that you're really struggling with, areas in your heart, just things that you're struggling with and you're wondering, is the breakthrough ever going to come? But beloved, I want to make this altar call just a time of saying, Jesus, one more time, I want to cast my confidence in the work you finished on the cross. On the cross, you broke the power of sin, and the sin nature is no longer fashioning my life. The Holy Spirit is fashioning my life. I'm coming to the altar just to thank you for destroying sin's power on the cross and to declare that I am becoming more like Jesus. I just want to make it a time, one more time, just picking up faith and just declaring that, you know what, on the cross, Jesus destroyed the power of sin. And because he destroyed the power of sin, the Holy Spirit is working in my life. And I am changing from glory to glory. I am fulfilling my Christian destiny. I am continually going forward and growing in the Lord and becoming great in the things of God. And it's simply because on the cross, he took care of the sin issue. He took care of the power of sin. So if that's you this afternoon, why don't you just join me in the altar? And one more time, let's just cast our confidence in what Jesus did on the cross. Listen, there isn't anything that can stop you from growing, from maturing, from changing. Because the power of sin has been broken. On that cross, he broke the power of sin. And beloved, God is doing a work in your life. So as the musicians play, let's just come down and just begin to thank the Lord. Thank you for the cross. I love that song, Thank You for the Cross, because by the cross I have truly been transformed. That is so true. By the cross, the power of sin has been broken. The Holy Spirit is working in my life. By the cross, I have truly been transformed. Amen. I just want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. And Jesus, I thank you that it was on the cross you dealt with the captivating power of sin. You dealt with the enslaving power of sin. That was God's remedy, and you were obedient to it. That was God's plan, and you were obedient to it. You humbled yourself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. And Father, we thank you that when your son was dying on the cross, that moment before he gave up the ghost, he cried out, "It is finished." Everything that needed to be done to deal with the penalty of sin and the power of sin has been done. It is finished. Lord, I thank you that when it comes to living a victorious Christian life, it's not about my victory. It's about your victory. It's not about my work. It's about your finished work. And yes, Lord, we have to deal with this sin nature. We have to crucify it. We have to mortify the deeds of the body. And sometimes it puts us in such tremendous weakness. All we can do is fall on our knees and look to God and say, Lord, I need your strength. But Father, I thank you that we can receive that strength and walk in that strength, because on that cross, Jesus broke the enslaving power of sin. I thank you for that. And Lord, this afternoon, we just come to this altar and we look away from ourselves. We look away from our strength and we just look to your victory. We thank you that God, you are doing a good work in our life. We thank you that we are changing from glory to glory. God, we may not see it. We may not understand it. We may not feel it. But God, it's not about seeing, understanding, or feeling it. It's simply about God said to be confident, and I'm going to be confident. Lord, you said to be confident. He that started a good work in you is going to complete that work. Doesn't matter if you see it. Don't matter if you understand it. Don't even matter if you feel like it. It's a great truth that's working in your life. And Father, we thank you, God. And Father, just keep this message just so simple in our heart. Just trust that the sin issue has been dealt with on the cross. And you are changing from glory to glory. And God, when we begin to maybe slip a little and start looking to our strength and start looking to our victories, God, put our eyes back on the cross. God, like David, you shook that ox cart. You shook it. You shook it. And God, I pray if we begin to trust anything other than your victory, the things that we're trusting in, Lord, you would shake it. and say, take your eyes off of this. Take your eyes off of this. Put it back on the cross. That's where the victory's at. I thank you, God. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.